Welcome to the sixth and final sermon in our sermon series entitled, Practice Makes Powerful. Today's sermon title, The Power of a Team, Life Groups. Open your Bible to Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. And let's begin.
Have you ever felt kind of left out before? I remember being a little girl in elementary school and my friends had planned a sleepover and didn't invite me. And I was just soul crushed as only an elementary school kid can be, right? And I felt left out and like I couldn't even pretend that it wasn't as terrible as I felt. And I was crying in school and totally crushed that I hadn't been included and all the fun things they were gonna do out without me. And it was just this terrible feeling. And I wish I could say like we grow out of that, like when we're not in elementary school anymore, but I can remember being a teenager and feeling this way, right? Like, I can remember being an adult and feeling this way, even when I feel like I should be too old to feel this way. We feel left out and not included, and it doesn't feel great. Like, maybe you're on social media, and you're, like, scrolling through pictures on Instagram, and you come across a picture, and, like, all your friends are together hanging out doing something great, and you're like, oh, that looks like fun. I like fun. Sure wish I could have been invited, right? Like, sure looks like I could have had fun in that picture. Or everybody at work is talking about all the fun things they did on the weekend. You're like, I didn't do any of those things, right? Or like, have you ever been around when everybody's talking about a TV show that they watch and it's like a whole nother language and you're like, I don't speak this language. I'm totally on the outside. I am not in. Or they've read a book that you've never even heard of and you didn't even know that it was real. Or sometimes this happens in a crowd. Like, have you ever been a part of a group of people and conversations are happening all around you, but you don't feel included? You feel kind of on the outside looking in and kind of left out and overlooked. And because I'm me, like, I always question, like, why does this have to feel so bad, right? Like, why does it have to hurt? Like, we say, I'm an island. I don't need anybody else. I'm totally fine. But it's not true. We need belonging, and we need relationships, and we need these connectedness with each other. It's one of our core needs as human beings. We were created for relationships. We were created to do life with each other, and we were created to be known and to know other people as well. I love Dr. Henry Cloud. He's a super brilliantly smart guy, and he wrote a book and said this. So the undeniable reality is that how well you do in life and in business depends not only on what you do and how you do it, which is your skills and your competencies, but also who is doing it with you or to you, who's helping you, who's fighting you, who's strengthening you or resisting and diminishing you, who's helping you build these skills and competencies or who's tearing them down. He said, what happens is we're all searching for true connection, because what happens is true connection, like not just acquaintances and those good, right relationships, they fuel us and they give us freedom and accountability and challenge us and responsibility and they unite us. And they're these incredible things that when we find them, when we truly connect with others in the right way, it helps draw out the full potential of who we are and who we could truly be. And what happens is these right relationships, they make authenticity possible, right? Like, we all have like the surface relationships where like we smile and we nod and like you don't know what's going on behind this face, right? It's our Sunday face. We show up on Sunday with our happy life is good face. But we need relationships where people know us, right? Like, we can't hide behind the fake smile and they know what we're going through and know what's going on and help affect our lives and help us thrive and help us grow. Because just like the right relationships help us grow, the wrong ones diminish us and hurt us and keep us from growth. For better or worse, people have an effect on us. The people around us either help us grow into our best selves or they don't. They hinder us and kind of smother who we're trying to be. So what we're trying to do is, how do we grow in these real, true, right, good connections? Not just anybody, right? But the right relationships with the right people. So that's what we're going to think our way through today. And we're going to do it looking at Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 23. Here's what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, I love this verse, and I want to break it into kind of three parts to help us think through this together. But I want to turn this into questions, questions that we're going to think our way through today, but write them down and take them home with you. And find some time this week to just spend a little bit of time thinking through these questions, not just like in an abstract way, but like in a real, tangible, how we do life every single kind of, every day. Okay, so the first part of this is thinking about our relationship to God. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Every time we look at God and who he is and what he's been doing for all of time, it's all seen through the lens of relationship. Even if you go back to the Old Testament and in the New Testament, what we see is God pursuing us. God seeking humanity to have a relationship with us. God inviting us to know him and to do life with him. And even in some of the harder parts of the Old Testament where you're like, I'm not really sure what's happening, going on. It's all driven through how to have a relationship with God. Because this relationship to God is our core relationship. And when this one comes first, when we do life with God first, it makes us better at doing everything else. When I've got a heart that's looking to Christ and who he is and who he wants me to be, what happens is I'm better at doing everything else. When I work on who Christ wants me to be and putting him first in my thinking and my heart and my actions and my life, I love him first, and that helps me love everybody else better. I'm better at loving my husband when I put Christ first. I'm better at loving my kids. I'm better at loving my family, right? I'm better at loving my friends. I'm better at loving the difficult people in our life when I hold fast to what I know to be true about God. When I think about these things, when I work my way through them, I'm able to bring the best of myself to everything else. So our confession of faith, our hope, it all rests in the faithfulness of God. And when we kind of cling to him and his promises, what we learn is God doesn't let us down. But what we have to start with, and here's the first question that we're going to ask ourselves is, what do we believe? So when I think about myself and my life, and I take everything away, and I take away all the clutter and all of the crazy things that have happened, at the core of who we are, what do I believe to be true about God? What are my absolute core beliefs in who he is? It's an important thing to think through, because what happens is we think we know, but if we've never thought our way through it before, we don't have a full understanding of what do I actually believe. And we thought through this together as a team this week, and here's kind of where I started. When I just start at my base level, what do I believe? I say, I believe in God. I believe that God is our Father, and everything starts with him, and he initiates everything. He initiates creation, and he initiates our relationship and our world and our very existence. He's the one who calls us and chooses us, and I believe in the impartiality of God. Like, God looks at us, and it's not about our race or our gender or our class or our economic status, but he looks at us and who we are in him. We believe in God the Father, and we believe in Jesus Christ the Son, that he's our mediator, that beyond what my head can even understand, God came into the world in human form, and he was fully God and he was fully human in Jesus Christ, and he gave his life for us, that we might know God and have access to him in ways that we never could on our own. I believe that Jesus Christ takes what's worst in us and exchanges it with what's best in him. That because of Christ, I'm not an outsider. I don't have to feel left out. I don't have to feel excluded. We're all invited to be insiders with him, part of a family, called to be sons and daughters and children of God. We believe in God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, that the very reason we have faith, the very reason that I even want to be God's girl, is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart, helping me grow in faith, helping me grow into the potential that he's given us to be, and helping us see who we could become and even wanting to do the right thing. So we start with, what do I believe about God? Who is he and what has he been doing? But then it's no surprise that a God who pursues us to have a relationship with Him, who's created us to be known and to know others and loves us, also gives us other places where we can grow in relationship with the people that we do life with. I mean, from the very beginning, the first place we see this is God creates the family. We believe that God created us to be in relationship, and we see that through He created Adam, and it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, and Adam had Eve, and they started this family, and the family is God's good idea. For good or for bad, the family is God's good idea, and it's the place where we grow, and we learn, and we survive life. And what happens is, it's also one of the ways that God mediates His grace into our life. I mean, there's no place that I've ever felt more loved and overwhelmed with how good it can all be than in the family, where I think about these glimpses of God's love and loving my kids and how He loves us and how I've been loved. But it's also true that there's no place that like stirs me up to anger and frustration and knows how to push my right buttons and make me, you know, lose control of myself in not best ways than in the family, right? It's the most incredible potential for good and for harm. Like, we always joke around that the best of families are like 50% amazing and 50% traumatizing. And we just kind of hope that like we land with more weeks on the amazing side and not the traumatizing side. But this is the place where we start to learn how to show mercy and forgiveness and love beyond anything we thought capable. The family is God's good idea where we learn about relationship, but then the church is also God's good idea. God created the church, and we believe that the church gets to be the hope of the world because it's the place where we get to learn about the amazing work of Jesus Christ and who He is and grow up in Him. It's a place we get to come together and encourage each other and help each other and learn together and strengthen each other. And it's the place where we get to learn how to show compassion and kindness and generosity to the hurting and the overlooked and the marginalized. We're called to be the world. In any place that we see darkness, we're supposed to be in the world shining the light of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be the ones out solving the hardest problems that exist and moving into the greatest needs. It's a place where we get to like band together and fight this good fight together, hand in hand, knowing how incredible our God is and that we get to go out in the world and show just who He is and what He's done. Anytime we hear the world desperately crying out for help, God says, I created you. You go. I've gifted you. I've empowered you. I've strengthened you. He's called us to be His helpers in the world who fight to make a difference for good, who are the ones showing the love and grace of Jesus Christ in all we do. When the world's trying to figure out who's God and what does it mean to follow Him, we get to be the ones that say, let me show you, just by how we do life. Because when God comes first, it shows up in everything else that we do. And the church is at its very best when this is who we say that we are, when we're working together using our gifts and our strengths to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And when this happens, incredible things take place in His name. We also believe in good. I believe that God is good. I believe that He is incredibly good and that there are still good things that He wants to accomplish in the world. We don't believe God is done yet. In fact, we believe that the very best is still yet to come and that God calls us to partner with Him in accomplishing His good works in this world. That anytime we see darkness or are confronted with ugliness and evil, which is real and happens, we're called to stand up and fight for good. I believe in the end, God is going to win and that He has awesome things that He wants to do and good will triumph over evil. And I want to be on His winning team when He does. I want to be on the winning team of God because God is good and the good He wants to accomplish is real. I love these incredible words of Dr. King. He said, when our days become dreary with low hovering clouds of despair, when our nights become darker than 1,000 midnights, let us remember that there is a creative force in this universe working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. That's what we believe about God, that he is at work and there's nothing that he can't do or that could possibly stop him. And because we believe this about God, we believe this about the relationships he's created us to be part of, we believe this about who he is and what he's done, we hold tightly to it, and it drives everything else. Because if this is what I believe, then it drives my priorities. It drives my values. It helps direct who I want to be and what I want to accomplish. Because a confession is more than just words. A confession is words and actions. If I confess that this is what I believe, how does it show up in what I do? If I use my mouth to say, this is what I think is true, and this is what I believe about God and life and who he's called it to be, me to be, how does it express itself in my daily choices? How does it show up in my actions and what I do week after week, month after month, year after year? Because what happens is what we value, what we believe, that's what we do. So we might say we believe something, but if it doesn't show up in who we are and what we do, it's just wishful thinking and talking. If I say I believe one thing, but I live like another, we aren't living out the faith, the life that God has called us to. Because anybody can say words, but it takes these words in action to live out who we are and who God's called us to be. So we have to start here. What do I believe? Not my parents, not my family, not my spouse, not my friends, me personally, what do I believe? And if you've never done this before, it's an incredible thing to just sit down and take a piece of paper and a pen, or maybe you like the computer or the phone, wherever you jot down notes, just start thinking your way through, what do I believe? If I was to be asked, what do I believe? What would I say? What would I fall back on? What are the core beliefs that I hold? And we can go back to the Bible and remember the promises that God has told us and reminders of who he is and what he wants to accomplish. If we've never just stopped to say that we believe in Jesus Christ, it's the perfect time to start, because it all starts here. Following Jesus and living life with him, it starts with me saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he came into the world because God loves us so much that he wasn't content to be separated from us. That Christ came in to rescue us and find us and redeem us and call him back to him. I believe that he gave his life that I might live. And the very first step in becoming a follower of him is just confessing with our mouth, believing in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that's the first step. That's the cool thing about how life works, right? Like, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. The beginning is belief in Jesus Christ, but then the next step is, how do I grow up in him? How do I grow into these things that he say matters, right? Because I might say I believe in Jesus Christ, but guess what? I still have things to work my way through, and I don't immediately change and become like this perfect person. I wish it worked that way. It would be awesome if it did, but I'm still me the next day. And so now, I've got to spend some time learning, how do I grow into these values that God say matters? How do I live these out, these actions, these feelings, these thoughts about who Christ says we should be? So the second question we have to ask is, okay, what do I believe? But now, who's teaching us? Who are we learning from about how to grow up in Christ? Who are we learning from about how to live out these values and live out our faith in him? I love it. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Look, we have to have time where we meet together, where we're around other people who stir us up to love and good works. So we have to ask, where are we going to learn about these things? Who's teaching me hope? Who's showing me faith? Who's reminding me how to love? And this good idea of the church that God has given us is the place where we get to come together and do that for each other. We get to learn more and more about who Christ is and who he's calling us to be. And we get to motivate each other, and we get to go out and do more good stuff together, and we get to remind each other and stir each other up on how to love more than we've ever loved before. So saying yes to Jesus, that I believe in him and I want to follow him, that's the starting point, the launching pad, the beginning place. Now we need to learn how more and more to live out that belief, that faith in him. What happens is we need help understanding what Jesus is teaching us, how to apply that to our life. I love Rick Warren, who's an incredible pastor. It's called Saddleback Church in California. He wrote this book called Purpose Driven Church. And the whole point is, like, why does the church exist and what is the church supposed to do? And he said, you can take, there's a lot of ideas and a lot of things that the Bible teaches us, but you can really narrow it down to two verses that helps us give an all around idea of this. The first one is this great command that God said, right? Like, love God with all of your heart and then go love your neighbor as yourself. Like, love God and love people. If you start there, man, that's a huge deal, right? But then the other part of it is this great commission that God's given us. Before Jesus left, he told his friends and he told us, like, go out and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. What happens is this good idea of God, the church, is where we get to express our love for God in worship. It's where, you know, it's not just singing a song that's worship, it's our love for God is how we worship him. And we get to learn to love other people by service and ministry, and we get to share what we've seen and experienced Jesus doing, not just here, but in every part of our life, and we get to find a place that we belong. And we get to help each other become more and more like Christ in our thoughts and our feelings and our activities. The point of being a part of the church and a member of the family isn't like lose your identity and lose what makes you uniquely you and let me give you a cookie cutter mold that you got to cram yourself into and feel like you. It doesn't work, right? It's not ever what God said to do. In fact, what happens is we don't lose what makes us uniquely us. We grow into the very best version of ourselves that God created us to be. And this is what Rick Warren said. He said, my church family gives me this. Our church family gives us God's purpose to live for. It gives us God's people to live with. It gives us God's principles to live by, God's profession to live out, and God's power to live on. That's where we get to do this together. The church family gets to the place where we get to say, what's God calling me to? What's the purpose that he created me for? And we get to be with his people and do life together. And we get to think about these principles that we want to live by. And what is his profession that we're trying to live out? And we can't do it on our own. And we need the power of God strengthening us in all we do. Because we need to grow and learn. There's never a point where we just get to say, like, I know it all. I read Matthew. I'm good, right? Like, I got Romans down. I read Genesis. Like, check. I got it. Our whole lives, we need to be teachable. Our very entire existence, again and again and again, we need to be reminded, I don't know everything. And there's more and more and more for me to learn. And what happens is we make it a priority in our life to be part of the church, to be connected to a place where we can grow and learn and be present and be seen and see other people. We're actually going to start a series here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to really dive into this. Why does the church matter? Like, why did God create the church, and why do we exist, and who has God called us to be? And we don't want to think about the church as just a building or just a place, because the church is us. The church is the people coming together who are in this building every single day of the week. And what we get to say is, why does the church exist, and what's my responsibility as part of the church? It's going to be an awesome series. I'm really excited for it. Somewhere in September, we're kicking it off. I can't keep track of dates. I'm terrible. I have a calendar that tells me everything, and if it's not on my calendar, I don't know that it exists. So coming up, I promise you don't want to miss it. Okay. So the third question we have to ask ourselves. So we start with, what do I believe? And then we ask ourselves, who's teaching me? Where am I learning? Where am I growing? But then the third part is, who is encouraging us? Because let's be honest, life is life. In a perfect world, everything works perfectly and everything works easily and it all goes together. But I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, my world is not perfect. This place that we live is not perfect, and there are struggles, and it's not always easy. And thank God for some of those moments, but they're not the norm, right? So who's going to encourage us along the way? Because every single one of us need places where we can meet together and encourage each other. And sometimes encouragement just feels like somebody standing up with you and having your back. Sometimes encouragement just feels like somebody's in this with you and they're not going anywhere. They're going to stand next to you when you're in the high highs and when you're in the low lows and when you're in just the average days that are in between. They're going to be with you, not shaming you or judging you or tearing you down, but helping you work your way through. And we encourage each other, not by saying, aren't you great? Aren't you perfect? You never do anything wrong, right? Like, we encourage each other by calling out the best in each other. We encourage each other by looking for the good in each other and by challenging each other and reminding ourselves why this all matters, which is why we need to have the right relationships, because we need to be known in the kind of way that I know how to encourage you because I know this is what you're struggling with. I know how to remind you because you've already shared with me and given me permission to be your friend and hold you accountable to where you're at and what's going on. And one of the best places that we do this, where we find this community and this growth and this accountability, is in what we call life groups. We come to church on Sundays to like stir each other up and talk about Christ, and I'm going to work my stinking tail off every week I can to teach us the best way that I know how to teach us. But this is only a part of what it means to be part of the church, because we have to go in relationship and we have to grow in community, and the bigger we get, it's harder to do that. And we know each other as acquaintances and surface level, but we need to be truly known and have these real connections, and we find that in life groups. And our life groups are places that get together here in the church and in people's home once a week, and we talk through what we're learning about and what we're going through and where we're at in life, and we think through the sermon ideas together, and we take it a little bit deeper and we apply it and how it's working out in our life. And it's an incredible place to build relationships and connections. What happens is we get to grow in our lives in relationship to other people. We get to learn about God and ourselves by interacting with each other, and we get to open up and be transparent, right? Like, I'm not trying to hide behind the facade. I just want to be me and the best version of me God's created to be. But it's also the place that we get to learn about each other. And sometimes just watching somebody else do faith and work out their life reminds me that I want to work harder. Sometimes just seeing how other people are making choices and doing life and working out their faith on a day-to-day basis reminds me, I want to do that too. I want to grow in that. I want to try that. Or, I didn't even know that was an option. How smart are you? Show me what you thought of, right? Like, they stir us up to think about how to do life different. And God gave us each other to encourage each other and strengthen each other. And these right relationships help us work our way through life and be more resilient and work through the stresses that we come across. If you haven't joined a group yet, that's okay. We're kicking off this fall with all of our new life groups, and here's what I want you to think at, because we all come in here today from different places and in different parts of our lives. For some of us, we just need to start, right? Like, we need to go to a group, we need to tell somebody our name, we need to give them permission to know us, and we get to know other people, and we need to join a group. For some of us, we need to start a group. We're at a place in our life where God's been working in us and God's been doing a ton of things in our life and our experience and our faith. And now it's time for us to lean into the lives of others and create an open space for people to come together, and we can start the process by just saying, I'll lead the way in this. And here's the best part. We help you. We give you all the tools and the videos and the stuff to talk about. All that's needed is a heart that says yes to God. Like, God, I want to do it. You help. If you're willing to say yes, then we'll come alongside of you and give you all of the stuff that you need. So here's what I want you to think and pray about. What group do you need to be a part of, or what group do you need to start? I'd love for our campus to start 4 new groups this fall that creates 4 new places for people to come together and grow in these relationships together. So whichever side that you land on, we've got sign-up sheets out in our Connection Center, and I think the ushers have some at the end of service. You can either sign up to learn more about small groups and be a part of one, or you can sign up to lead a small group and be a part of one as well. Wherever you are, this is a great place to start to go a little bit deeper. I've been a part of a ton of different groups over the years, and I've been parts of groups. I was in my first life group. My sister and I led one together. I think it was like 19 or 20. I had no idea what I was talking about. Grace of God that anybody showed up. But look, it was a starting place, and it was a awesome place where we got to grow some of our relationships. And I've been part of groups where I'm being discipled because I am very, very willing to admit I don't know everything. And I need people to teach me and show me, and I have hard questions that I want to ask and I want to think through. And I've been part of groups where I'm helping disciple other people. And all of these groups, all of these relationships have helped me get to be the girl that I am today. And God wants to do the same thing in our campus and in our lives and our relationships by calling us into the people he's created us to be. We aren't meant to do it alone. We got to have a group of people that we can band together to charge into this life with. With September 11th coming up this week, all these stories start resurfacing about these incredibly brave men and women who were just ridiculously working for good on a day of incredible evil and incredible ugly. And it's interesting because my girls are young and they obviously weren't around. And so we've been talking about like where we were when it happened and how we learned about it and what we saw and all of that stuff. But one of the stories that always just haunts me in my heart is when I read about the people on United Flight 93. So their plane had left from New Jersey, headed to San Francisco, when it was hijacked by 4 terrorists. They'd stabbed the pilot and took control of the plane. There was 33 passengers on the plane and 7 crew members. And they put them all in the back of the plane and told them that there was a bomb on board and they were heading back to the airport. But what happened is, because their flight had been delayed about 45 minutes, they were on the phones calling their family, and they were using the in-flight phones, and they heard about what was happening in New York and at the Pentagon and about the World Trade Towers, and they knew something else was going on. One man was talking to his wife over the phone and said, "We have to do something." And so they got together and took a vote, and they decided they were going to fight back and not let this plane do what its initial evil plan had been to do. And so the group got together and charged the cockpit with whatever makeshift weapons they could kind of put together. It's hauntingly interesting, but there are these recordings of some of the lines that got left open, or the black box was retrieved after they found the plane, and you can actually hear the fight and the struggle. One of the stewardesses was on the phone with her husband boiling water, so they had some means of fighting back. And one of the men said to his wife, "I know that we're gonna die, but we have to do something." It wrecks my heart when I read these stories, because I just can't even imagine like how terrifying, excruciatingly painful this fight must have been. Like how horrible it must have been to say goodbye to the people that you love, knowing you're not going to see them again. But rather than letting their plane hit another target, they charged the cockpit, fought fearlessly and tirelessly, and this plane ended up crashing in the middle of an empty field in Pennsylvania. I mean, they charged evil face on, willing to give their very lives. And because of that courage and that sacrifice, I mean, countless other lives were saved because of it. And every time I think about this story, like, none of the fear or any of those things stopped them, but they worked together and fought with all they had. All I can think is, this is exactly who we are called to be. The church is supposed to be the place who charge evil head on, no matter the cost. No matter how hard the fight is, we're willing to do all that we can and give all that we have to stop evil in its tracks. But friends, we cannot fight that fight alone. We were never meant to. We were never called to. We need each other. God gave us each of each other to stir ourselves up for love and good works, to encourage each other, and to be reminded that we are not in this fight alone. God wants us to charge into the ugliness that exists and shine every force of light and we could, good that we can, in the name of Jesus Christ. But we need each other, and we need each other to do it at all. Because God is good, and he's going to accomplish his good. He invites us to be part of the team when he does. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would give us the courage to try in a way that we've never tried before. I pray whatever walls or barriers that we've put up, Father, you would take them down. And I pray that you would give us a sense of humility, a sense of transparency, a sense of willingness and courage to just step up and try something in a way that we've never tried it before. I pray, Father, for those of us who are thinking we can maybe start a group, that you would give us the courage to say yes and try. I pray for those of us who are just maybe taking these first steps and need to be included somewhere, that you would give us the willingness to try being part of a group, and that in all of these places, Father, you would do your holy good work in us, and that in every one of these groups, Father, we would be strengthened and encouraged and stirred up to do good work for you. I pray that in it all, the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified. In his name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.